Now I'm joined by a Ballyhogue man, plays football with Ballyhogue, but he plays rugby with Enniscorthy. Of course, they're in the AIL now. He's a performance dietitian. I suppose, first of all, Arthur, just explain what a performance dietitian is.
Well, thank you very much, Liam, for having me on today. Delighted to have a chat and talk all things nutrition. So, from a performance nutritionist, I'd probably, again, distinguish it and the fact that it's all based on trying to get the most out of the body when it comes to exercise and as you train and as you want to play and perform at your optimum, it's key that sort of the right food is eaten so that your body is preparing for exercise and also recovering from exercise. I guess it's also important to point out that it's not just about making the most of your performance and exercising, it's also making sure that your health and you get the balance right in all forms of the foods that you eat. So it's in essence trying to make sure that health, body composition, so how lads are shaping up to play, be that championship or rugby or soccer, and then also just to make sure they're getting the most out of exercise.
Of course, everybody's metabolism and everybody's body is different. So I suppose trying to work with a team, from your point of view, is probably a little bit more difficult. You kind of work on the individual more so than the team, although you have worked with the Cork footballers and you have worked with some teams.
That's right. Like, there's no doubt that the individuals would be the focus, and typically within an inter-county squad level, you'd look at priority players and guys that you have sort of really key goals you'd set out for them. But on a still within an inter-county level and even with the Leinster Academy team, you do want to make sure that there's a total understanding of food is all around us. It's a lifestyle thing, and I think we can probably get a bit too bogged down in some of the really intricate, sort of complicated aspects to nutrition when really if you can get the basics right. And I know we can maybe discuss those aspects of it, but I probably nearly don't want individuals to get too caught up in the very minutiae of nutrition. It's not the marginal gains that make the difference. It's what you do day to day. And that really goes with any aspect of performance. It might be the training you do. It might be the rehab you're having to do on an injury, but it's those basics that are always going to add up and make the difference.
They tell all of us that sugar is the big redhead to avoid, and fast foods, are they the two main sources that can clog the system for an athlete or for all of us?
Yeah, I think that definitely, I think it's all of us really is to understand that really it's high processed food, I think is probably the umbrella term I would use, in the fact that undoubtedly we all enjoy the treats, the kind of convenience foods and all of these things that probably in the last, let's say, 40 years have become a mainstay. And while typically fats and the fat in dairy and all these sorts of foods were sort of demonized, it's now the dial is moving closer to the likes of sugars and all these sort of sweeteners and the amount of carbohydrates and aspects around how much energy you should be eating is getting sort of the red herring, as you might call it. So yeah, there's a sort of a bit of confusion, I think, or maybe misnomers around the area of, well, can I have a chocolate biscuit or is it going to send me over the edge? And I think that's, again, comes into the idea that we're too focused on occasions to be specific around certain foods. But if we looked at the bigger picture, I don't think a Kit Kat or something in the evening with your cup of tea is going to be the end of the world and not working from too many extremes. But needless to say, a sort of a fast food or a highly processed diet on a sort of more consistent level is certainly not going to help health in the first and foremost. And then when we think about performance for lads at club level, women getting back into, again, it could be hockey, it could be camogie. It is really important to think about the type of energy you provide your body, because that old analogy of you are a car, as it were, to try and fuel the car with the best type of petrol you can get, whereas if you put the suboptimal stuff and you hope to get the best out of your body, I think you're going to be running on fumes not too long into an exercise session.
The fact that you play a sport yourself, is that why you went more of a sports angle? I know that you're actually working on jockeys at the moment. There's a lot of talk about them in particular, because some of the lads are starving themselves to ride horses, and a lot of health concerns around the jockey. You're working on that at the moment, I believe, Arthur.
That's right, yeah. Again, a really, really interesting topic and an area. So the sort of the title, I'll say, of the research that I'm involved in is developing strategies to help weight management and reduce the risk of bone fractures in jockeys. So again, a fascinating area. I sort of I don't grow up or I haven't grown up around horses, but I'd have a a family connection both on my father and my mother's side to horses. So it's a really interesting area. I have massive admiration for the jockeys, their dedication to what they do. I've always sort of, again, in a jokery type way, I sort of associate them or label them nearly as busy farmers. They're so active in everything they do, and they have such pride in the work that they do. But the great challenge from my point of view as a performance nutritionist is just trying to make their sort of their understanding and their awareness of the food that they eat and how they can improve their ability to ride the horse at the level that they'd like to in terms of increasing their chances of winning. And while the horse does a hell of a lot of work in that race, there's no doubt that the jockey, if he's fueled and he's got his concentration levels are at where they should be, and so they're not having to, again, really restrict all fluids, all food intake, and do some of these really extreme methods to reduce their weight, which you wouldn't see boxers do. You wouldn't see MMA fighters. It's a very niche area, jockeys, and the challenge they have to face to travel around the country, to race 3, 4, 5 times a week, and even again 3 or 4 races within a race meeting to try and get their weight where it should be. It is absolutely incredible the dedication that jockeys go through to be able to perform what they do in the sport, which in terms of the risk what they put themselves through is again just incredible. And I know there are many a jockey who just say, well, look, it's just another day's work, but it is very impressive.
No matter what sport you play, let it be an individual sport like athletics or tennis or even golf, but at a team sport, but it's the last 15 minutes, isn't it, when the lactic acid starts to build up, when you start to get tired. Is that where all of this would help performance, that's, you know, you're trying to go to the cross the line where most sports people are getting tired? Can you have an advantage over somebody by preparing properly?
Absolutely. I think that's you've really hit the nail on the head in that the place where you'll notice the biggest effect, the greatest effect on your performance, again, as you've labelled, just the individual type sports or at a general level and even just recreationally. And I understand that perceived idea around nutrition and dietitians, it can be this really extreme way that you need to cut out all the sugars and the processed foods that we mentioned. But it's about getting a balance, which you'll see on the various social media platforms and on TV at the moment. The balance is the key thing. But once the diet is something that is a lifestyle and something that you enjoy doing and you embrace the idea of eating a healthy diet, when it comes to performance and exercise, it's those last moments within a game where there's absolutely no doubt that decision making, endurance, stamina, the capacity to execute a skill as well as it could have been done in the first minute as well as it can be done in the last minute is going to make a difference in terms of the amount of food you've had in that sort of 48-hour window prior to that, but also how you've maintained your body composition. So that aspect of trying to stay in good shape. And I think these last number of months is really going to make it quite difficult for individuals getting back to club level and trying to get up to speed with the types of training that you might get at a championship level. But it really is a case of trying to look after the body so that when you do get in those crucial points within a game that you're able, the championship minutes as it were, that you're able to perform it at as well a level as you could.
One of the great ingredients free for some people is water. And I don't think any of us drink enough water. Is that crucial, how you build up your water intake in the 48 hours before a game?
Definitely hydration plays a key role. I do think it's with this opportunity to talk about fluids and hydration, I think it's really important to stress the point that all fluids count. So I not for a moment do I not want to emphasize the importance of water and daily fluid intake. I have a glass of water sitting in front of me here at the moment, but all fluids count when it comes to hydration. So while water is free, it's available, it's accessible, it comes out of the heavens most days of the week at the moment. So you're right to say that's going to play a key aspect to concentration levels, to maintaining alertness from an exercise point of view. But if we want to just make sure that we stay hydrated, the cup of tea, the cup of coffee, the glass of milk, the yogurt, the fruit, the veg, all of these contribute to our fluid intake, our total fluid intake. So I think it's important to understand that We don't need to be guzzling down 3 litres of just pure water a day and have that horrible sort of full feeling of having to hit a target. It's important to sort of, I guess, maintain that point that hydration can be achieved by continually drinking all forms of fluids. Now, I think this is where it is important to specify that if you're going to be drinking fizzy drinks and fruit juices, these now contain a lot of additional energy and sugar, which would be the types of nutrients you'd like to reduce or at least avoid if you're trying to reduce your body weight and maintain a healthy condition.
Because it's true, Arthur, sorry for cutting across here, because it's true that sugar gives you a short time gain and then it makes the body sluggish. Is that
yeah,
am I right in that?
Yes, and it's just this term that's used more than anything is liquid energy, liquid calories. It's very easy to drink and consume a large amount of energy in liquid form than it is in a food form. And absolutely, I think the fruit juices that we have would definitely create that high peak of energy. Very simple sugars, very refined, and so that means it breaks down in our body very quickly, and we get a quick rush of energy, and that will then die away. And that isn't a sustained way of maintaining your performance in terms of having a slow release of energy, which you would get from actually a whole piece of fruit. So the whole orange or whole apple, that contains fiber. It still has the same sugar that you'd find in the carton, but in the difference is you're actually getting all the fiber that's wrapped up in the apple or in the banana or in the orange. That's why when you make a smoothie, which I would advocate, I think smoothies are great. They're a great vehicle for adding in extra nutrients. You can add in some yogurt and some beloved milk. And it's a great way of getting fluids on board, but also a portion of fruit or vegetables. And the key is with a smoothie compared to a juice is that a smoothie contains that fiber. You're not squeezing out the pulp that you might find with a fruit juice. You're actually holding on to a lot of the fiber. And that's important for slowing down digestion of sugars.
In the current situation with COVID, it must be difficult for Scotty, haven't played any rugby, the local soccer players, but by and large, most guys and girls playing sport now are serious about their diet, the vast majority of them. It must be very difficult at the moment, Arthur.
Absolutely. I think the one that probably worries me the most, and trying to stay connected with guys, and this is more on a training and just trying to keep up to date, not with so much with trying to keep at a match or a championship intensity, but just trying to keep the body ticking over. The fear would be is that as individuals, we probably don't have the team environment to maintain that level of motivation, to want to look after ourselves. And so while I do make the point that it can be detrimental, that now without the regular amount of exercise that we're doing, we're probably still eating the same amount as we were when we were exercising. It's very difficult to know how much is enough. Our portion sizes might not have changed, but the amount of exercise we are doing may have reduced. Now, that being said, there are people that are thriving. I must say there's individuals out there that I'd be in contact with, and particularly in the rugby club at the moment, and there's lads who you'd be speaking to, and they really have grabbed this opportunity. And it just shows that if you can get into a routine, if you can understand the fact that, yes, there's a lot of uncertainty and there's vagueness around when we might be all coming back to play at a championship level or in any type of a league or matches, it's important to get into some form of a routine and understand that I can work through a motivation level, might be in contact with two or three individuals who might be out doing exercise themselves and staying in a connected form so that you can try and make sure that what you're eating is complementing the exercise you're doing. Because without that form of exercise, and I'm definitely craving the team environment, I love it again with Ballyhoe, with Enniscorthy, it's such an enjoyable atmosphere. It really, really gets the most and the best out of guys is to have a bit of fun. And that's something I can't wait to get back to. But I guess the clear message that I'm trying to make is to try and maybe adjust total energy intake and portion size, because there would be a fear that as lads try and gear back up to getting back out and training when the nights get a bit longer, hopefully in months to come, and it gets a bit drier, the track, that they might not be able to get back to that level that they once perceived their selves to be at.
And I think that people are inclined to eat more in the winter, aren't they? We eat salads and we eat probably more healthier food in the summer. Is it just by nature of the coldness of the winter and the dark evenings? Do you find that?
Yeah, absolutely. No, really good point. And I think it is a case of with longer evenings and the coldness, absolutely our body is doing that deliberately and consciously to try and store up energy for the winter and in some form of a sort of a hibernation type mentality, that we're trying to make the most of our harvest that we would have had and make sure that the body is sustaining its energy and is able to get out the other side of the winter. But there's no doubt that the latest restrictions and the circumstances have caused again a greater reliance and a lack of freedom, really, to be able to sort of switch on your body clock, as it were, and make sure that you're able to get into a routine, as I'd say, because the aspect of boredom eating is probably another really big fear here, is that if you are at home and there's college work, or it's just, again, day-to-day work, or it's looking after kids, the fear is that you get to a point of going, this has been a really long day, it's 5 or sort of 4 o'clock in the evening, and you don't know what to do because you've been watching enough TV all day and you haven't really gone out to get a bit of fresh air, and it's going to get dark or it's been raining, that then it sort of just clicks into a bit of a, well, the best next thing that I could do is maybe just eat some food. And so that cycle of sort of boredom eating is also coming into play here with again, winter all around us and trying to stay stocked up with food and trying to break the monotony, really, of day to day.
Obviously, it's easier in the environment of a team to do what you're preaching rather than an individual, because you're away from the setup when you're at training. You know, the background team are monitoring how you're doing and you have each other to guide each other. So it's far more difficult at the moment as individuals, and that's what's happening at the moment. Okay, they may be training on their own in blocks at inter-county level, but just training on their own, but they still have to try and motivate themselves as individuals, which must be more difficult than if you're in a team scenario.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. And it's probably a good area to try and touch on here is that motivation genuinely is for an end goal. So it's for a lot of individuals that I might speak to, and again, day to day in terms of with different teams at a club level, is this idea that it's very aesthetic driven. It's this very idea that I need to have a six pack, or I need to have muscle showing, because that's the sign that I'm going to be in good shape. But without the team environment, what I would suggest to a lot of individuals is not to rely on this idea that it has to be aesthetically driven. It should be a health and performance type idea, that really what you're trying to motivate yourself with is, well, why would it help if I was in better condition or better shape for when matches and training comes back into full focus? So it should be thinking about, well, can my energy levels be better when I train? Will I have better speed, stamina, agility? So trying to think of a lot of the things that should motivate you to want to be in better condition when all is allowed and permitted in terms of training and getting back to matches. So trying to use a lot of the whys of your day-to-day health and performance, as opposed to what you see in front of a mirror. Because I think what we've come used to now at this stage is that there should be some one size fits all, which certainly isn't the case. I think we need to move away from this sort of influencer aspect of trying to look one certain way.